CinemaObsessed.com.
Like an obsession. Okay, well, that one was blown.
I didn't know we were going to do it. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, you know, when I say 1, 2, 3, go, that's usually the cue that we're going to start.
I'm so sorry. I blew it.
You blew it. Oh, well. Welcome to the podcast of CinemaObsessed.com.
Cinob speak, as we like to call it.
I'm Chantal.
I'm Angie.
We are sisters, movie-loving sisters.
And we're from Canada, eh?
Hey. Here to chat about all things movies.
And, we're going to do it a little differently today because we have no plan whatsoever right now.
That's right.
We just hit record and go.
And what do you want to talk about today?
Seen any good movies lately?
I really enjoyed The Book of Eli. That one we just caught recently on, I don't know, just TMN or something.
Mm-hmm.
And, honestly, I wasn't quite sure. I mean, like, when I read about it before it came out, I was really pumped, and then it kind of just came and went, and I didn't think much of it. And honestly, I really enjoyed it. Like, I love the, you know, post-apocalyptic movies. For a little bit, I was thinking it might be a little too similar to The Road, but it really, it was good. It stood on its own. It had a good original plot.
It was a pleasant surprise because we just sat down and it just happened to be just starting on TMN. And I was like, I'm too lazy to change the channel, so let's watch this.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would have picked it up on my own.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed it, too.
I really liked it. I mean, some of the religious overtones
parallels
were a little bit, couldn't quite connect with, but I still thought it was really original, really good.
Yeah.
What else?
Good little twist on the end, too. It was really good. Mila Kunis was good.
Yeah, she was.
And so was he. He wasn't his usual, like, Denzel self. Like, it was good. He had, like, a machete, and, like, I was surprised. He was, like, slashing. Heads were popping off.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting it.
Kind of the bride in Kill Bill a little bit.
With
some
silhouettes. Yeah. Under the bridge when he was killing those guys. Another thing
that was an awesome scene.
That was good.
Awesome fight scene.
Another thing that we did notice is that a lot of these post-apocalyptic movies are very much the same, in that there's always the bad guys who, like, they're in a group, they're, like, cannibalistic, they have motorized transportation, and other people are, you know, like Waterworld. Like,
it's just the
basic smokers.
It's the basic good versus evil type of thing.
Some people overcome the apocalypse, and some people turn into fucking assholes.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's either you go down a good path or you fucking eat people. And that's about what it comes down to.
I found the bad guy in this movie. What's his name? He was in Fifth Element. Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman.
I wanted to say Tom something. Gary Oldman. His character wasn't, like, if it weren't for Denzel's character putting up a fight about the damn book, I feel like that character wouldn't have been such a bad guy, don't you think? Because he was sending out his gang to look for books of any kind and bring them back.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, granted, they were out there, like, killing people for books.
Yeah.
But the guy just wanted the book, which is a Bible, which you find out quite soon in, that the guy's looking for a Bible.
Yeah.
Because apparently they were all destroyed and whatever. But if he had just found the Bible, he had good intentions.
No, he didn't, though.
He wanted to...
He didn't, though. He said, this book has power, and I can use it to, like, have people follow me no matter what. Like, it wasn't... You found out that, like, at first when he's giving the speech, it was more to fool Denzel's character. Like, it was more about, like... Obviously, he puts the good spin on it, right? Like, this book, you know, will change people and give them faith and hope again, and blah, blah, blah.
Right, but he wanted to build towns and bring order back, in a way.
It was a power thing, though. That's why I think he would have used it for evil.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
Good movie. Yeah.
So, I mean, I could talk about, like, actual movies, obviously, all day long, but I think, you know, something we've never really discussed, at least in a podcast, in great length, is our complete and utter obsession. Like,
well,
I'm not sure that people fully understand what it is that we do.
I've said it before, and it's become, like, my mantra, and I'll say it again. Some people don't understand why we like movies so much, but I'll say some people love photography, and they could stare at photos, or they could stare at paintings, or go to the opera and ballet and dance, and they're just, oh, it's the greatest. It's just it's a form of art. And I feel like in a movie, you get everything all in one. Mm-hmm. You get, like, writing. You get a story. You get character development. You get visuals. You get, like, props and costumes. If you like fashion, if you like, you know, sets and scenery, and there's things to look at, and sometimes there's songs and scores. Mm-hmm. I just feel like it's everything wrapped up in 2 hours.
Yeah, like, I'll watch a movie. Not only will I appreciate really good writing, like, any dialogue between two characters, or monologue, whatever, you know what I mean? These are all the things that we feature on the site. But it's also about, you know, I appreciate, like, set design and the detail that goes into creating, you know, like, even just one character's room or office or whatever, mm-hmm. you know? Like, I remember, okay, I've just finished reading Kevin Smith's My Boring Ass Life. Which is a fantastic...
You finished?
Oh, yes. Oh, I finished. Oh, I was hooked on that.
I've been hearing about his little entries forever now. She keeps going, oh my god, in last night's entry?
Amazing. He's just... I mean, and I could gush and gush and gush about Kevin Smith. He's just amazing. And actually, one of the entries, he did, you know, make a comment, and I'm sure he's made it before, that, you know, their fan base is really made up of guys, you know, dudes who, you know, are geeks and shit, and... Or, you know, the dick and fire loving guys. And he did make a comment that there weren't a lot of female fans.
Who you really were like, got I'm it. Out here.
I just wanted to be like, Kevin! Like, obviously he knows he has female fans, but I'm a true hardcore female fan. So, anyways, but in the book, which is just comprised of his diary entries on his blog, he talks about his experience working on Catch and Release, which was a fantastic
Ooh,
movie.
That was a good one.
And that's, I think it was Susanna Grant, I think is a writer, director.
Yeah, he didn't write it.
He did not write it, he did not direct it, but he was cast in it. And he was really surprised to have been cast, because, you know, he has made fun of himself. He constantly makes fun of himself about his acting abilities. But really, like, he doesn't give himself enough cred. Like, he's amazing.
Silent Bob is not the deepest character, but the character that he played in Catch and Release was... great.
Well, Silent Bob has his deep moments. That can be, that's debatable. But in terms of his acting, you know, he says, you know, when he's Silent Bob, it's, you know, big eyeballs, small eyeballs, mm-hmm. really raised eyebrows. You know, like, you know, like, so.
Reacting to Jay, pretty
much. Yes, and, you know, it's really corny, and I love it, and he's made comments about that, too. But his acting in Catch and Release was just phenomenal. And, he had talked about the set that was designed to be his office, which I do actually believe was taken out of the movie. I don't think that was a scene that was used. But his office at work. It might have been, you know, I'm just kind of blanking right now.
He was writing descriptions for tea, right?
Yes. Not descriptions, but, like, he would always quote the quotes on the tea.
Okay.
Anyway, really cute. But he talked about the detail of his office, and he really... you know, chuckled when he saw, you know, things that were on his bulletin board in his office, because he's like, this is so exactly what this character would have. And, you know, the attention to detail for things like that is pretty amazing. So, you know, when you can appreciate that aspect,
it's
of
more of an
film
art than
too,
people realize.
It really is. Like,
that's why commentaries are fun, because sometimes you'll be like, look at that in the background. And it's some tiny little detail that you never would have seen, but was placed there with a purpose.
And that's the thing, like, you know, we're special features whores, we've said it before, like, I'm all about the special features, and sometimes it takes away from the movie a little bit, you know, when you see too much of the making of, when you're like, oh, this takes away from the magic of it, you know, but I love it, because I get to experience all aspects of it, so.
Speaking of set design and stuff, I was recently, just because, I'll just go on the internet and just look up a movie and just read shit about it, and I did that recently with Down with Love. Because I just had Ewan McGregor on the brain, as I often do, and I was like, I'm going to look it up. And reading about the costumes and the sets and the way they filmed it and everything, I mean, to make it look like a 50s campy romance, the detail, like, they filmed it with special film, or once it was filmed, they processed it in a way similar to the way they did it back then.
Okay.
For those kind of, you know, those campy 50s kind of movies, and they processed it in the three color Technicolor, I forget the term, but in the same way. And that everything that they wore every single costume was made specifically for each character, head to toe.
Right.
They didn't go out and buy anything. I think they said there was a lot of props that they bought on eBay and stuff to decorate, but it was hard because they were watching tons of old movies and trying to, even the desks and the shoelaces and yes. every little thing.
And I was just reading about...
because
just,
it's so stylized, that's
just,
what I mean.
Yeah, and I just recently posted about an upcoming on the site called On the Road. And it's a Jack Kerouac novel and that he wrote in, like, 1957 or whatever. It's a long time ago. And it's been... even at that time, he was shopping it around to different studios to buy the rights. And no one was biting because he specifically had Marlon Brando in mind. And he wrote Marlon Brando a letter, and it was completely ignored, and he wanted him to play one of the two lead characters. And it never got made. His agent, he ended up later kind of blaming his agent, because his agent wanted to sell it to, like, Touchstone or whoever for, you know, $160,000 or $150,000, which wasn't where Jack Kerouac was, like, shopping it around for, like, $110,000 kind of thing. So his agent had a higher price on it with the... what do you call that, like, condition that Marlon Brando starred.
Right.
So it never got made. And
that's a famous book. I'm surprised it hasn't been made.
It's a famous book, right? So then Francis Ford Coppola ended up buying the rights in 1979. And there were several screenplays written for this movie. And it just, he could never find the right translation from the novel to the screen. And he himself, actually, with his son Roman, ended up writing their own screenplay for it. That's not what the end result is now. It's not their screenplay that they're using. But he did say that it's such a big endeavor to take on, because I guess a period film is, like, the most expensive thing you can do. Like, forget special effects and stuff. It's the most expensive kind of project you can take on, is making a period film. And this one's going to be awesome. Because did you ever see Motorcycle Diaries?
No.
Oh, so good.
I know,
you've
been pushing that one at me for a long time.
So good, so good.
I just feel, though, like a fairly old book that most people have at least heard of in one way or another, not being made then and being made now, it's almost like, we've said it many times, that Hollywood is kind of running out of ideas. And they're adapting every book into a movie, and they're doing sequels and mm-hmm. comic books that original stories are hard to come by. So it's I kind of feel like, of course it's coming now.
I think
after all this time, it's coming now, because they're, like, fishing through the junk drawer of ideas, and they're like, oh, let's just do this one.
I do feel, though, too, the audience affects that as well. And I think when original stories come out and they're completely, like, underrated, you know? Like, that people don't appreciate them. Like, recently watching 500 Days of Summer, I thought that was an incredible movie. It's not like any movie I've ever seen in the way that it was filmed, like, even just the style.
Mm-hmm.
But also in the story. I didn't think it was very original, even though it was, you know... It was not a love story, right? This is a boy meets girl story, but it's not a love story. And I love how they intro like that.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as... and that's one of the first lines, and I'm like, they had me. I was like, well, I'm in. This is going to be different. And it was. It's, you know, they're taking you all over in the timeline, in the sequence of events. It's very atypical. Like, it's not following in a, you know, point A to point B, like, chronological, you know,
chronological style. That's for you, Jen.
I love it.
Another one that's coming that I think you're really gonna like, because you like 500 Days of Summer, although I think it'll be darker, is Blue Valentine.
Oh, yes.
This is the Ryan Gosling,
yes.
Michelle Williams.
Williams, yes.
And it's the same. It jumps back and forth from time in their relationship.
Yeah.
And just the trailer so intrigued me. I don't know if you felt the same way, but I was just like, oh my god, I have to see this. It was him singing a little song all throughout, you know, the montage of mm-hmm. that is the trailer. Mm-hmm. It looked so good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, I don't know. Sometimes I'm torn, because I can really appreciate an original story, but if it's a little too dark, sometimes I'm like, fuck that noise. Like, I just want to escape into a movie and just have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. I don't know. That could go back to me just not being able to deal with, like, real life.
You need some therapy?
Well, shit. You know, I escape into movies, but it's not to avoid my real life. It's, like, I appreciate it. But at the same time,
I don't feel like shit.
I don't need it to be too real.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's why I loved Avatar so much. Because I was like, it's just so out there.
So great.
So great.
So great. Fuck the haters. Fuck that em. Shit was
fuck
awesome.
Em. Oh, whatever. That shit was awesome. It's Pocahontas in space. I don't care.
I don't care.
Good for you, James Cameron. Because you had me.
Yeah.
It was great. You created an entire world that didn't exist. I mean, like, that's creative genius at work.
Yeah.
And I read the script, eh? I went online and I read the script start to finish. And at first, I was reading it going, I'm ruining this for myself.
Yeah.
By reading it. Because I was reading lines and scenes that were cut.
Oh, okay.
But in the end, I had such a good time reading it. Because it was like, on paper, you'd be like, there's no way this will ever be made. Do you know those big bathroom readers? That series of books?
Yes.
Uncle John's Big Bathroom Reader. And there's a new one every year and shit. And it's just like trivia and little small snippets of things to read when you're sitting on a crapper.
Yeah. Which I love to do.
After Avatar came out, someone found an entry in one of those bathroom readers from like maybe 10 years ago. And the section was called Movies You'll Never See.
Mm.
And it was a bunch of movies that had been like written and maybe even the rights were purchased, but they were canned and they were never made. And one of them was Avatar. And the write-up was like, after James Cameron's hit of Titanic, you know, he's had this one project that he's wanted to do forever that involved 10-foot blue aliens on a planet and you walk around and they wrote it up like, listen to this stinker and you'll never see it. It'll never get made. And then look what happened. But it was just funny reading the write-up of someone assuming it would be a piece of crap.
Yeah.
Fuck you, haters. It wasn't.
It wasn't. It was beautiful.
It's beautiful.
In but every
again,
way.
Again, though, it did get heavy at points where you were like, the tree, and like you were just, it got so depressing at one point where it was like, why, James Cameron, can I only watch the first half of your movies? Yeah. I want to watch Disc 2.
I want to watch Disc 2.
Or the second tape.
The second VHS tape for Titanic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, fucking tape one only.
To date, my VHS copy of Titanic, the second tape, is in mint condition.
Mint condition.
I've never taken it out.
Oh my god, I think that's why I have trouble popping in the DVD, because I haven't really watched that movie in a while.
Because
I don't have full control over it was just so nice, crisp, clean. Here's where it starts, here's where it ends. I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're going to fill up, the bows are going to fill up, and this, boom, black screen, done.
Mm-hmm.
They avoid the iceberg, they live happily ever after.
Yep.
That's how
but
it goes
that's the
in my
thing.
World.
I watched Avatar so many times, but I put it on before bed, and I was always asleep before anything bad happened.
Yeah.
So in my mind, it's just remained that way.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm dying for the sequel.
It's gonna be good.
It's supposed to focus on the oceans.
It's gonna be such an oh, and I can't wait.
I know. I want to see these Na'vi underwater. Can they breathe underwater? Do they have special?
I bet you they can. But I wonder if humans, though, can't go in the water, because it'll, like, be, like, acid or something.
Well, yeah, the air was poison on Pandora.
Yeah, Pandora. Air is no good for breathing. Ridiculous. But I love it.
And I
can't
know
wait.
The baddie's supposed to come back.
Really?
Yeah, the guy with the scars on his face.
What?
Yeah. Because they said, he was, like, in an interview, the actor giving an interview, they were like, will you be back in the sequels? Plural sequels.
Yes.
And he was like, you know, you think a couple of arrows in my chest is going to stop me? If they have my DNA, anything's possible. So imagine how far we are in the future in this world. If they have his DNA, you know,
but like,
they'll probably create
honestly,
an avatar for him.
Let that shitbag die. Why would anyone want him back? It's not like...
To create a storyline.
Well, yeah.
Some conflict.
Couldn't we... But I would be just as happy with a brand new kind of just interspecies... conflict, like there's, you know, something.
Civil war.
Not even, just because then in the perfect Pandora, they all get along. But I just mean, like, even just, I don't know, they could take it any direction, I'd be happy.
Yeah.
A big sea monster. Fine, if they're in the ocean. Sea monsters.
I don't think they'll go there.
Okay, fine.
I think it'll still be a conflict with human beings.
Yeah.
another sequel I'm really jazzed for is District 9.
OMG! Yep.
District 10? I don't know. Will they call it that? But you know that Christopher... know. What's that his name? Christopher. They gave him... Christopher Johnson? They gave him that name. He'll come back. He'll come back with, like...
Oh, yeah. He's coming back. Reinforcements. He's coming back.
He'll keep his promise.
It's on.
Because he's going to come back to help the other guy, right?
Yes. Who, like, we leave sifting through garbage. Poor guy. But then again, you're like, no, fuck. Now you know how it feels. Mm-hmm. That was a lesson. Let that be a lesson to you.
It's karma.
It is karma. You want to fuck with them, you want to treat them like they're animals, well then I think it's only fitting that you become one and see. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he there's redemption there.
Yes, he did learn his lesson.
He did learn his lesson, and him and Christopher are going to be good buds, and they're going to conquer the earth together or some shit like that.
But it's true. If you were to think of that happening, what the hell would you... If a million of another species landed on the planet, what other option is there? I mean, help them assimilate? Give them government funding? Tell them not to procreate because they're going to kill our planet? What the hell would happen?
Yeah.
Now I'm stressed. It could happen.
Could happen. See, but in my bad dreams, when I have nightmares, I always help bad guy. I'm like, no. Listen. We're on the same team. Don't worry about it.
I would survive, yeah.
I got your back. I'll help you get whatever you want.
You know what that reminds me of?
What?
Benny in The Mummy. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Because he speaks the language and he's like...
That's true.
He's like, don't kill me. And he's like, it's better to be the right hand of the devil than in his path. Boom.
It.
Those are your nightmares, right? Where you're like, I'll help you.
I will help you.
Mm-hmm.
I will help you in your evil plan. Whatever it is. I'm in. Just don't kill me.
What if he wanted you to kill the people for him? Would you rather die than do that?
Okay, well, I think that's a heavy road to go down right now.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay. I don't want to say anything just yet in case it happens. And then I'm
held responsible.
Implicate myself or something?
In the event of the apocalypse.
In the event of the boogeyman coming and I need to... Because in my dreams, that's what that shit is. It's like ghouls and demons and, you know, it's nothing. It's nothing that serious.
What's in your DVD player right now in your room?
Be honest. I'll be honest, it's Sex and the City 2.
Really?
Right now. Okay. I watched that last night before bed. I watched the whole thing before bed, actually.
Wow, it's long,
too. You know, I didn't think I was going to make it through. It's so long. But it changes, right? Because they go from Abu Dhabi, like, all the stuff that happens in New York and then to Abu Dhabi and then back. It's like, honestly, it doesn't feel that long. I could have gone longer.
Mm-hmm.
Could have gone longer.
It was like the first one, New York, Mexico.
Yes.
Then back in New York.
The first one, though, after seeing the second one, I don't enjoy the first one as much. Because the second one was just so over the top with the outfits and the shoes. And I'm sorry, again, haters, I love it.
Me too.
I love it. I don't care. It is what it is. And that's what pisses me off about critics, you know, is like, I don't know what they... You can't fit a square peg into a round hole.
Take it easy.
Okay, I'm calm.
Yes. Yeah. They're trying to compare movies to things that they're not trying to be.
Yeah, don't try and fit... make something fit into some category or act like... That's what pisses me off about critics. I hate film critics. I think they're pretentious assholes. I think it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry to anyone who's listening who maybe does have their own movie blog that, you know, where you...
Who identifies as a critic.
You identify yourself as a critic. And I'm sorry, but you can shove it up your asshole. Because, first of all, you're not even... like. Not that they're any different. I'm sorry. I don't think anyone's qualified. I don't care how many
movies
you've seen.
It's art and it's subjective. Nobody should be saying it's good or bad.
It's subjective. So, like, Joel Siegel and shit and those people, like, munch a log. Honestly, I don't care who you are or who you've been identified as. Like, oh, you write for the New York
Times.
Your
opinions of a movie are more legitimate than someone else's?
Yeah, like, what is that shit?
Oh, I like flops.
It's baloney.
I like them.
So... It really especially ticks me off, like, huge pet peeve when I read movie blogs. And I'm sorry to say, and there's a lot of them out there, and maybe some of them are, you know, listening. I don't care.
Doubt it.
Like, you're especially nobody's, you know, to be having, you know, performing these
especially,
critiques. And
especially when they're shitting on movies that aren't out yet.
Shitting
on a trailer.
Shitting on movies that aren't out yet. Shitting on movies that, like, are... maybe let's say like cult classics. And I'm like, you just didn't get it.
Yeah.
You just didn't get it. Mm-hmm. Take your little 2.5 stars and shove it up your goddamn asshole.
Oh my god, I'm so angry.
You know what? It's just, it's my chance to vent about this.
Critic just sounds like a dirty word.
And it is a filthy word.
When we've been at premieres and people are like, oh, so are you the film critics? I'm like, oh.
Don't call
it
me that.
It makes me shiver.
No, we are film enthusiasts. I'm and like, I will correct that till the day I die. I don't care.
I remember, who did we do the podcast with? I think it was Josh and Justin. And we would tell them, they would give us a title and we said what we thought. And then they said what they thought. And we were like, cool, la la la. And he was like, you're so agreeable. You don't have to agree with everything we're saying. And I'm like, this isn't about right and wrong.
Yeah.
This is like, you raise a good point. You liked it and I didn't, or vice versa, and that's fine. I'm not saying my opinion means it's good or bad. I'm saying, I can even say it was bad and I loved it.
Yeah.
It doesn't, it's just, I like to talk about movies, and that's the whole point of our website. It's not about, like, listen to what I say, like it if I like it.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah, and I'm not going to put a value on it. I'm not going to tell you.
No.
It's 4 out of 5 stars, because really all I'm just saying is, like, I just happen to like that flick, and take it or leave it, but I don't feel the need to do that. So I find people that think their opinion matters, like, in that context, need to get their heads checked.
Yeah. I feel like it's just going about movies the wrong way.
It is. Mm-hmm. Feel like, just even if you give it a great review and so, you know, 4 out of 5 stars or whatever your little rating system is on your swaggy blogs, I just feel like there's still a negative undertone there.
Yeah, we talk negative about things sometimes.
Yes, but I'll give you reasons why I didn't like it. It's in good fun. The thing is, of course, you're not going to like everything about every movie you see. And you know what, there are movies that I love that I had problems with. For example, some of the Disney movies. Little Mermaid. Mm-hmm. It's like my all-time favorite Disney movie. Do I have issues with her? Do I have issues with the lesson that it teaches to young girls? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are my political opinions that strong? No, it's a Disney movie. It didn't affect my upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
But we can laugh and joke about how ridiculous it is that she falls in love, that they are completely head over heels in love with each other, speaking. And she hasn't even spoken yet. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
Have you seen anything lately that you really didn't like?
Ooh. Yeah, I'm trying to remember what it was.
Yeah, there was
something we watched recently, and I just wasn't into it. What the heck was it? And you weren't that into it.
I watched Chris Rock's documentary called Good Hair.
Okay.
And that was really lackluster, really boring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't watch that one with you.
But I did watch the one called Babies, it's no narration and it just follows 4 babies, and it was really cute. It was really good.
Okay.
It was a nice change. I wasn't listening to anyone tell me what I was seeing. I was just seeing it, and I was like, this is... And there was some organization to the shots that, like, if you have half a brain, you could follow what they're showing you.
Yes.
Like, first steps and first baths and all that kind of stuff. It was really cute.
Yeah.
It was my documentary
You went on phase. A little phase there.
They were both on demand.
I love documentaries, though.
Yeah.
Love them. Don't get to see them that often. I suppose if I really, like, went out and, you know, actively were seeking them, like, I suppose I'd find more. But I did, like, I really enjoyed Teenage Paparazzo.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Very interesting, following... Although, you know, I still can't decide if... What's his face from Entourage? What's his name?
Adrien Grenier.
Still can't decide if he's a giant douchebag.
No, for sure.
He is, though. Because there were a couple moments in it where I was like, oh,
I think
God.
He plays that character so well.
It's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, good documentary. Really interesting. Had some... some strong opinions about the parenting style, but to allow your child to, because it's not a normal hobby, he's not, you know, collecting stickers for his sticker book, you know, it's like, it's, he could potentially be in some serious, like, danger, you know?
Yeah.
Man, well, we watched a lot of Christmas movies lately. That was the thing, like, with for the entire month of December.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't watch Home Alone. I'm so pissed.
I did. I watched it while I wrapped my presents.
I totally forgot about it. Yeah. I bought it. $5.
Woo!
put it on a shelf. I totally forgot.
Mm-hmm. Love Home Alone. Home Alone 1 and 2, man. The rest don't count. I draw the line. I'm like, I get it why little kids would like it, but it lost that, like, all ages appeal.
Yeah.
It became very,
I'm looking at your shelf, and I see that you bought All About Steve. Did you watch it yet?
No. I'm afraid to. I love Sandra Bullock. I'm afraid to watch it. But that's the thing. Horrible reviews.
You'll keep your mind open.
But I will keep my mind open. Mm-hmm. I will. I might love it. My God, the amount of movies that make up my, like, top 50 all-time faves, because, let's be honest, there's a lot of them. Mm-hmm. I'm rounding down, but, like, top 50, let's say. I would say probably 80% of them received shitty reviews.
Yeah.
At some point or another, whether it was when they came out in theaters or when they were on DVD, whatever. Critically panned.
Yeah.
I bet you 80%.
Mm-hmm. One that I watched recently that was lent to me that I didn't really like, I kind of faked it for the person who lent it to me, though.
Cannonball Run. Yeah.
Which was a 70s comedy. I just couldn't get into it. Yep. It's just a bit of comedy before my time, like screwball, silly
antics and
impersonations of Richard Nixon. I was like, and watching it knowing that that's current, that was a current pop culture joke, I was just like, and I just found the story was all over the place, and I know it was supposed to be following the different people in this race across this America and the cars. I mean, it had its cute moments, but I also couldn't watch Burt Reynolds as a sexy leading man like he was at the time. Mm-hmm. I was just like, ugh.
Jason Lee would kill you.
Jason Lee would kill me?
Yeah, you know he's obsessed with Burt Reynolds.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah, don't you remember?
I have nothing against Burt Reynolds, but he was supposed to be a hunky leading man. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't feel much for that movie either. What else? I mean, we don't even, and again, right, we go from title. We can't even help ourselves.
Hey, over Christmas break, we saw Legally Blonde the musical.
Oh, yes. That was fun.
The Broadway show.
Translated really well into a musical.
It did. Yep.
Yeah, it was really cute. I was a little apprehensive with the first number where they come out and it's like, oh my god, you guys.
Yeah.
I was like, oh no. I don't know if I'm in for this. I don't know if I'm going to last for 2 hours. But it was, because it was just so shrill and like.
They were supposed to be those, the sorority girls.
Although the song did grow on me because they had like, you know, then they'd have the reprise and stuff.
You've been singing it ever
and
since.
And I've been singing it since. So I suppose it did grow on me. But at first I was like, don't know. Mm-hmm. Might have to.
The thing about seeing the movie that's not a musical and then seeing the musical felt a little rushed through the storyline. Because they're trying to fit in 4 and 5 minute songs.
Yes.
So I felt like within the first 5 minutes, she was already at Harvard. And you're like, ah.
Yeah.
So it went quickly, but if you hadn't seen the movie.
If you put on the movie, though, I bet you it'd probably be like 10 minutes in. She's
maybe
at Harvard. I bet you anything, because it always feels like you have more of that development when you're seeing it without musical numbers.
Yep.
But that was great. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was so much fun. Got all dressed up, went to the NAC. Beautiful theater here in Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
That was good.
And they had a real chihuahua on stage.
Oh, he was so cute. I nearly lost my marbles.
He got the biggest round of applause at the end.
Yes. Isn't that nice, eh?
Yeah. They didn't use him very much, though.
He didn't know where he was, for God's sakes. Everyone else is like put in, you know, 8-10 weeks of, you know, 12-hour day rehearsals and shit, and the dog comes out and is like, ah, I licked my own asshole, and gets, like, a huge round of applause.
Mm-hmm. He came out last, too. Mm-hmm. They saved it for the last. The Lion King is coming to the NAC in the summer.
We have already seen that, actually.
But I'm going again.
In Toronto, but I will go see that again.
Yes.
Amazing. Amazing. And, I mean, even as, you know, watching it on DVD or whatever, it's an amazing story and musical. Oh, Sir Elton John. So good. Then they had like Phil Collins with Tarzan. I'm like, fuck that.
I was officially out at Tarzan.
Done.
I was into Mulan, and then Tarzan, gone.
Done.
Checked out.
I was like, no, not into it. Not into like, you know, contemporary, you know, Magic 100 kind of, which is a really, you know,
middle-aged radio station. The middle-aged radio parts. No offense, Magic 100. If you want to work with us, that's cool.
No, just the feel of the music. It was like, yeah, I didn't, adult as rock. A child, yeah, like, this is not for kids. Like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Elton gets it.
Elton did it well. There's even a few songs that didn't end up in the actual movie that were amazing.
Yes.
Like, Zazu had a song.
Yes.
And it was and a it great was
good.
Song.
It was good. Yeah, I remember that.
The Morning Report. It was good.
What else? We also bought a game. It was Seen It, which most people have heard of.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like Battle of the Sexes kind of thing.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
That was good times.
And it really didn't work out too well because we played on the same team. So we kind of killed it.
Yeah. It wasn't all movie related, though.
Oh, please. A lot of it was. There was some TV, but not much. It was good though. That was a really fun game. What else do you want to talk about? Because I mean, this is our miscellaneous, so we can, you know, I've bitched about critics, talked about some movies that we didn't like, did mm-hmm. like recently. Mm-hmm.
Gone
over our Christmas spree.
We won a blog award recently. We won the Special Achievement Award from the movie 411, which was a judge's choice.
Yes, important to note. And all those other assholes, I mean wonderful blogs, who received votes and won in their respective categories.
Received votes?
We received votes, but all I'm saying is, if you start out with a following, if you've been blogging for 10 years and you've got, you know, a pretty solid following, well, you're going to have lots of votes. That's why I think it's a popularity contest sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
In the blogging world?
I don't think it's pretending not to be. That's the point. Which one is more popular?
Yeah. But it's not necessarily which one is the best. Like, best comedy. Let's just for the sake of conversation here.
Right.
If you have a category that's best comedy, and you go to someone who's in the lead by, you know, they're winning by 100 votes, and you go to their blog and they ain't that funny.
Mm-hmm.
They're so-so.
Yeah, the one, I don't know her, and I won't say the name or anything, but the person who did win best comedy, mm-hmm. I believe, it's barely even a movie blog. It's like she occasionally will mention a movie. It's more of a personal blog.
Okay.
And I didn't find much comedy in it. It was like the occasional quip sort of thing. I'm not being a bitter loser. I am a very humble, good loser.
Listen.
I've been a loser all my life.
And that's true. No, you know what? I'm not in... I don't have a website to win blogging awards. You know what I mean? It's not... It's very... You know, anything that we're recognized for is very much appreciated. But I'm not just talking about the movie 411 awards. Not at all. I'm just talking about the blogging world. And I have my own, you know, pet peeves about it. It's just... It's... Mm-hmm. It can be terribly frustrating
at
times.
You have to use it to get ahead... But at the same time, sometimes you don't want to be associated with it.
That's the thing. I guess I don't always associate myself with fellow bloggers, especially movie bloggers, because I find a lot of them are really stuck up.
A lot of them do it to be taken very seriously. They want to be taken seriously as movie reviewers, whereas you and I put on pink afro wigs and make a video and go la 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 la, like we're idiots. It's like, it's a very different intention.
But, you know, it's funny that I was a bit naive coming into it, thinking, now, mind you, we found a lot of people who are just like us.
Yes.
And we wouldn't have otherwise discovered, and we love all of them. But coming into it, I really thought that there would be more recognition, more appreciation for the fun of what we're doing.
Right.
But I'm surprised that most people are just so serious about it and just can't quite cut loose.
Yeah, we're not talking world politics. We're talking movies.
We're talking about movies. It's supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I appreciate all the hard work that goes into the movies, like, especially, like, you know, writers and directors and stuff. Like, that's, it's a lot of work. No doubt. But, I mean, it's still supposed to be fun.
Yeah. Oh my god, I just thought of the movie that we were saying was a piece of shit.
What?
The 41-year-old virgin who knocked up Sarah Marshall and felt super bad about it.
Listen, that movie...
That was horrendous.
That movie was horrendous. I couldn't even get past, what, half-hour mark?
Yeah.
It was bad.
And we love spoofs, and we were like, oh, I'd like to see a spoof on the Judd Apatow kind of genre.
It just didn't even feel like a spoof.
It felt like a bunch of just recreations stuck all together with bad impersonations. Really bad.
It was really bad.
We didn't get very far at all, and I felt like I gave it a decent chance. Mm-hmm.
I really had high hopes. I really did. I thought, I love Judd Apatow's movies. I would love to see the interpretation of a spoof.
Spoofs, I don't know, are not what they used to be. Don't get me started.
They are not what they used to be. No. But if you look back, though, even, like, there's a lot of pop culture references and stuff, but it's different. It's, because if you watch Mel Brooks' movies, there are pop culture references of stuff that doesn't belong, though. Because you're always like, Paris Hilton doesn't belong in, you know, epic movie. Mm-hmm. Fine. I don't like the references. Like, I'm done with that. You know, done with it. However, if you watch a Mel Brooks spoof, there are things that completely don't belong, that they've just worked in because they're pop culture references.
Yes. But let me defend them in this sense. If you look at 41-year-old virgin, yada yada, that piece of shit, it's just like a scene-for-scene recreation of these movies. Mm-hmm. And the characters have the same names, for Christ's sakes. Mm-hmm. They don't try at all.
No, what was McLovin's name? It was terrible.
McAnal Lovin. Right, but I mean...
Like, how non-funny is that?
The main character was Andy. The other people all had the same names. Jonah. They called him Jonah, yeah. The one guy. Stupid. If you watch Spaceballs, they made their own story. They made their own characters. They had Barf. They had...
I agree. I'm on the same side
here. Dark Helmet. Okay, fine. But that's funny.
Funny.
Lone Star. Mm-hmm. Like, they kind of amalgamated
President
two characters.
President Scroob, which is just, yep, Brooks backwards. Yep. Love that. Scroob.
They made their own story. Princess Vespa. Mm-hmm. They made... It had its completely own story about sucking the air off the planet. Like,
No.
They used to try.
I'm in full agreement. Like, I'm never going to sit here and say that Mel Brooks' style of spoof is, you know, it's equal to that of the quality of what's being produced today. No. I will never, ever make a statement like that. I think, yes, he's a genius. His spoofs are amazing. And no, they're not what they used to be. But I'm just saying, I think that because we were brought up watching these movies that were before our time, we don't view some of the pop culture references like we do, mm-hmm, today. Stuff that's
getting
current,
older, though, like, I have.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. But I just mean, it's never going to feel the same because we've never watched it when it's current. You know what I mean? These things are never going to be current.
True.
But yes, I'm in full agreement. Like, you watch Robin Hood Men in Tights, and then you put that next to Epic Movie, and it's like, although Epic Movie was not bad, though, I didn't mind that one at all.
Which one was Epic Movie?
Epic Movie was,
yeah,
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory mixed with Chronicles of Narnia. The Cribs, where he does, I loved him as that character. It worked for him. Mm-hmm. Pedro from Napoleon, yes, Dynamite. So,
no, that's not Pedro.
Not Pedro, Nacho Libre. Sorry, Nacho Libre.
Yeah,
that's what I meant to say. That character worked for him. You know, he's like, he's hard to understand.
Yeah.
Accent and, like, speech impediment.
Watch Scarface in your toilet.
Oh my god. His tour of his crib in Narnia was awesome.
Disaster Movie had its moments too with the chipmunks.
That was, like, one of the only good scenes, though. Mm-hmm. And
but memorable.
Memorable. I really enjoyed... I did enjoy her as the princess, whatever, coming out like Enchanted.
It's hard to watch.
It was hard to watch for the whole movie. I agree with you on that.
What'd you think of Vampires Suck?
I liked it. So did I. I liked it. I'm sorry. I thought it was funny. It had lots of funny moments. I love the Twilight movies. Yes, and haters can go fuck themselves right now. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm sorry. I enjoyed them. I equally enjoyed making fun of them.
Yes.
I thought it was great.
Her impersonation of Bella was just so amazing. Bang on.
Amazing.
Tiny nuances she had down.
Yeah.
And the guy who played Edward was pretty funny too.
Yeah. Do you remember in the 41-year-old virgin who knocked up Sarah Marshall felt super bad about it? The amount of dildos.
Oh my god.
What was up with that?
They must have had a prop designer like working on set whose specific job was to go out and buy dildos.
Like okay, I'm fine. I'm not overly sensitive. You can make dick jokes, I don't care. But like they were so heavily reliant on the fake penises. It was mm-hmm. like what? It's not funny.
Yeah, and we only watched like 40 minutes, and it was jam-packed with...
I bet you there were many more dildos after that.
I'm sure there was.
It's ridiculous. The only part that did make me giggle slightly and grossed me out at the same time was when his nipples got ripped right off when he did the chest wax.
Yes, fair enough, but I felt like predictable.
Well,
of course this is where this is going.
It wasn't fucking masterpiece. It wasn't like... Mm-hmm. Get that man an award. No.
The guy who was playing Seth Rogen's character, though, had the voice of Seth Rogen.
Had the voice. It was creepy.
Was too overweight and didn't look like him, but...
I slightly look like him. They did him up all right, but yes.
The voice was bang on. Yeah. And the laugh.
Yeah. There are still some Mel Brooks movies that I need to see that I can't believe I haven't seen.
Yeah, I've never seen History of the World.
No, I've never seen Blazing Saddles.
I fell asleep in Blazing Saddles. I tried. But I just haven't seen enough Westerns to really understand the spoofing of it, I guess.
And I do feel like, you know, Spaceballs is where it's at. Robin Hood Men in Tights is where it's at. Young Frankenstein.
I'm obsessed with Young Frankenstein.
Young Frankenstein's amazing. So it's, you know, I think, like, hello, they're more popular for a reason. That's why. But I still need to see those ones, mm-hmm. but...
The producers. Oh, so good.
So good.
But he's like super senior citizen now. It makes me sad.
He's very elderly.
I don't know if he'll be making any more.
He's very elderly. I don't think so. You never know, though. Never know. What else, Ange? What else do you want to talk about?
I don't know. Soundtracks? Any soundtracks you like? Any hidden gem movies that you want to talk about? You want people to see?
Maybe sure. Something. I mean, there's definitely ones we've talked about in the past. Lost Skeleton of Cadavera, one of the going on the spoof theme here, one of the funniest kind of spoof movies of you know B-1950s B alien movies, black and white, absolutely hilarious. Just it's a special brand of humor. Like either you get it or you don't, and I think. If you can appreciate what they're making fun of, it's that much more enjoyable. But mm-hmm. that was a great one. I really enjoyed Trailer Park of Terror.
Yes.
Which is kind of the silly, spoofy, but not quite, like, just...
Still scary.
Like, Dead and Breakfast, it's like, it's comedy horror. And it's zombie comedy, to be specific.
Zombie!
So, like, Trailer Park of Terror and Dead and Breakfast are two that I would recommend.
Yeah, look those up, people.
Highly for a zombity. Oh my god, we just need to, like, coin that term.
I'm sure it's been done.
Zombity?
Zombity? I said zombity.
Zombity.
I think it's probably been said.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I think we came up with Zom Rom-Com.
I think you did. But there's enough film nerds out there that probably would have said zombity before.
Yeah, you're right. I love zombie movies.
Me too.
Just on that note, like, hand in hand with the post-apocalyptic stuff, I love zombie movies. I don't care if they're funny or totally frightening or just grotesque. I love zombie movies.
Yep. I'm just looking at your shelf and scanning your titles.
Yeah, because we've got about I don't know. What do you think? 300? 200?
Just here, just on this floor.
Just on this floor, we have probably... Well, that's got to be about 300.
How long have we been talking? Because people probably aren't listening anymore, except for Jen.
Well, Jen might be listening, so it's okay. Just on this shelf alone is 88. So you can imagine, we're probably looking at 400 movies.
The shelves are sagging because there's so many on there.
Like, are they really?
A little bit.
Okay. Yeah, we're probably looking at approximately 400 movies on this floor. Now we have probably close to 3,000 in this house.
Yeah.
Easily.
Don't give our address because we'll get robbed for sure.
No, I know. We have a lot of movies. And a lot of people don't get this, right? But I feel like when I have the mansion one day,
right?
After CinemaObsessed.com just takes the fuck off and we're like just rolling around in money, like in Decent Proposal style.
Like Scrooge McDuck, dive into the swim in the cash.
Yeah. Well, then I'll have the proper kind of display to put this in, like in The Holiday.
Oh, yeah.
Love that.
Have you seen Youth in Revolt yet? I see it on your shelf.
No, I haven't. I bought it without watching it, another one. And that was highly recommended to me by someone. It's just something about the write-up, eh? I can't quite bring myself to watch it. I don't know what it is.
I'm sure it's good. But I'm just tired of seeing Michael Cera play the same thing over and over.
I think then you'd probably like it because it's very different. He's playing two characters.
He plays the socially awkward virgin teenager.
But he plays a very different character as well. He plays two characters.
Right, I understand.
So anyways, I mean, okay, well, I guess we can wrap it up since now we're just... scraping... bottom of the barrel here. We're like, okay, what else is on my shelf?
I suppose it was a third person or something to talk to, because I'm like...
I know. Well, okay, on that note, you know, if you like what you hear, if you think... I don't even care if you agree or disagree.
If you could contribute to the convo.
If you can contribute to the convo, send us an email, info@cinemaobsessed.com, and we'll have you on a podcast. Jen, we're looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, that was fun.
All right, good times.
Hey, we didn't do any Stump the Cinob.
Yeah, I don't have anything prepared because this was a miscellaneous.
Okay.
Do you have anything?
No, I just feel like I don't want to let go yet. No. Okay, I guess we will.
We will. We'll do another episode soon, one that actually maybe has some kind of
structure
to it.
Okay.
All right, thanks for tuning in.